cover today. We have a number of bills ready for introduction. Introduction and most of the first reading is as far as they're likely to get this side of the election. So there's a Government Superannuation Fund Amendment Bill in Michael Cullen's name, which deals with ensuring consistency around 100% CPI indexation for the Government Superannuitants and the National Provident Fund Superannuitants. There's also a social assistance payment of New Zealand Superannuation and Veterans Pension Overseas Amendment Bill with improved conditions for paying New Zealand Super offshore. There's another treaty settlement bill ready for introduction. That's the Whakarewarewa and Rotorua-Tamaheke vesting bill. And there's a standards and accreditation bill, which is a rewrite of old statutes, which has been going on for a little while. Decisions have been made about extending the New Zealand police participation in the UN police contingent in East Timor. And Kim will have an announcement to make about that. We've received reports on the implementation of the Corporate Social Responsibility Framework, which was introduced for the SOEs. Trevor Mallow built on that. And also report on the work of the Health Impact Assessment Unit. This was something set up a little while ago to work on building assessment of health impact into consideration in government policy making. Ready for release for consultation is what's called a draft digital continuity strategy. This deals with how we maintain archival material in the digital age as technologies become obsolete and information collected and deposited in such technological form can't be accessed. So that's something being driven by Judith Tizard as Minister in charge of the National Archive. We've made more policy decisions on the rewrite of the Children, Young Persons and the Families legislation. That's an act which is now almost 2 decades old, and there's been a major review going on of it. We've also approved for release the code of practice, which has been worked on for some time, around home equity conversion. It's something that's of particular interest to superannuitants who may have a debt-free home, but the cash poor, and having a good code of practice about the kinds of conditions they should be subjected to when releasing equity from their homes is important. There's also been policy decisions on a courts and criminal matters bill that's focusing on further improving the collection of unpaid fines and improving enforcement in that area. The House this week, it's our intention tomorrow to begin on the committee stages of the emissions trading bill, but then to go into urgency to progress a range of bills that are currently on the order paper, and that would run until Friday evening. Otherwise, coming up this week, you may have noticed that today was announcements around the rollout of the cervical cancer vaccine to young women. There's been a tripartite agreement signed between the Ministry of Health, the CTU and District Health Boards around engaging constructively in the health and disability sector. The before school checks are rolling out across the District Health Boards beginning this week. There's been some piloted already. We're in the process also of announcing the next round of discretionary grants for early childhood centres, which has been a big action area for us as a government. This week, probably tomorrow, Rick Barker will be releasing the new passport cover design, a nice new authentically Kiwi design passport. Ruth Dyson probably tomorrow will be releasing that new code of conduct around a range of new conversion schemes. Come Wednesday, Business New Zealand has its pre-election conference with people from across the parties speaking, and quite a number of ministers will be speaking. We're also expecting another three or so treaty-related sign events this week. And towards the end of the week, there will be an announcement around the proposed rule on prohibiting the use of handheld cell phones while driving, released for consultation. That's about a six-week period. I should also say I've had a note from Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet, Domestic and External Security Group, on the earthquake, which I think everyone who was around the buildings would have felt at 1:21 or so this afternoon. 5.8 magnitude, centred southeast of Tirangi, widely felt across New Zealand, but at the time of advice to me, around half past three, no reports of damage had been received. Any questions?
Prime Minister, you suggested this morning that the National Party was tipped off by the Serious Fraud Office. Are you serious about that?
I have no doubt whatsoever that word seeped out that the Serious Fraud Office was about to make a move. Whether it seeped from there or from others who were in the loop, because there were other agencies in the loop, remains to be seen.
When you say you've got no doubt whatever, do you have evidence that that in fact has occurred?
I have reason to believe that the timing of Mr. Key's announcement last Wednesday afternoon was not coincidental.
What other agencies were in the loop?
At least two others, one being Crown Law and the other the police.
You seem to be saying that Mr. Peters can't expect a fair investigation then if someone's...
No, I'm simply saying that the timing wasn't coincidental. And I think that's important because there's some who are inclined to look at the move last week at the time and say how brilliant. Not so brilliant that you had some sort of tip. This is a small city. I now understand that rumours were around on Tuesday night.
It's pretty... You're casting aspersions on them, though, aren't you? Because you say that it's a very serious thing if any agency like the Serious Fraud Office is leaking to the opposition.
Oh, it is a very serious thing. And as I say, there were more than just the SFO in the room.
So you're satisfied now that it wasn't the Serious Fraud
Office? Well, they say it wasn't.
Do you take them at their word on that?
Well, I don't have any option but to. But all I say is that word was certainly up.
Because haven't you now, you question the legitimacy of the Privileges Committee inquiry by saying that perhaps the National Witness had prejudice to that?
Well,
now
of course they have. I've never seen, in 27 years here, a Privileges Committee hearing conducted like this, where you have an opposition member in the chair whose leader is out in public obviously having drawn conclusions about what the outcome would be and acting on those conclusions. It's an unprecedented occurrence.
But aren't you now actually undermining the SFO's investigation by saying that they are in some sort of conspiracy with the National Party?
No, I haven't said that. What I've said is that it appears to have been word out before the National Party.
Did your office get that word, Prime Minister, or are you just assuming this because of Mr. Key's brilliant piece of
time? No, I have other reasons to believe.
Do you want that investigated then?
What's that?
Do you want it investigated?
Oh, not really. What's the point?
So were you aware on Tuesday night then?
Most certainly I was not.
When did you find out about
it? The very first I heard of it was late Wednesday, advised by the Attorney General.
Prime Minister, will you be giving...
After Mr. Key's press conference.
Will you be giving evidence yourself to the Privileges Committee?
Well, we've crossed that bridge when we came to the Barry. It remains to be seen whether there's anything material that I could add. I have to focus on what that hearing is actually about. The hearing is about whether the donation, which clearly occurred, as generally agreed, into a lawyer's funds, fees, whether that was a gift. I can't shed any light on that.
Just back to the Serious Fraud Office, though, you said this morning on Breakfast TV that it was, quote, almost certain that they got a tip from the Serious Fraud Office that it was about to move. So
I now know there are other agencies.
Do you have evidence that Crown Law or the police then leaked it?
No, I don't. But I have reason to believe that the timing was of great importance to the National Party.
Was your decision to tell reporters on Friday morning about what you, when you first heard about Owen Glenn's donation to Mr. Peters, was that influenced because you knew by then the Serious Fraud Office was going to be...
Not at all. It was influenced by the fact that on Wednesday afternoon, Mr. English apparently raised in the House and inquiries flowed from that. That's the sole reason I said anything.
Can just relating to that conversation you had with Mr. Glenn in February, did he tell you that Winston Peters had actually solicited the money, or just that Mr. Glenn had given the money?
Well, the recollection that I have and that Mr. Mallard has is that Mr. Peters met with him in Sydney, and we were left with the impression that money had been discussed and that sometime later Mr. Glenn was advised where to pay it.
By Mr. Peters?
Well, we weren't left with the impression that Mr. Peters had given information to where to pay it, but we were left with the impression that Mr. Peters had asked for it. Now, obviously, I put that very directly to Mr. Peters. Had he asked and had he received, his party received, and he received, it was a categorical denial.
You've said that you didn't disclose that information because nobody asked, but in that case, why did TV3 report on February the 21st that you said it was a private meeting and refused to discuss the content of it?
Well, it was a private meeting, and I didn't get any pointed questions about did you discuss this, did you discuss that. But it's very easy to be wise in hindsight and say, why didn't you come out of these two private conversations and make an announcement? Why would you?
What went through your mind when he held up the side of the press conference tonight?
Well, what went through my mind was that he had categorically denied either soliciting money or receiving it for himself or his party. Now, what goes through your mind is, could it have gone some other way? But I've always taken the view that that was basically a matter for Mr. Peters and Mr. Glenn, not a matter for me.
So when Mr. Glenn gave you the impression that Mr. Peters had sought money from him, did you have any reason to doubt Mr. Glenn's word?
Well, obviously, I then had reason to go and ask Mr. Peters, had this happened? And Mr. Peters was categorical that it hadn't. As I say, I was left the impression that clearly some money had gone somewhere, but I had a categorical denial that it had gone to either Mr. Peters directly or to his employers.
This morning you raised a couple of examples where Mr. Glenn had been inaccurate or confused about circumstances that he detailed regarding his claims that you were going to make him Transport Minister and also his timing on the express delivery when they entered the scene. Is that designed to undermine his credibility as a witness?
Well, I'm simply quoting the Coddington article of Sunday's Herald, which reminded me that those were two instances where recollection had been less than accurate.
So are you now easing on the side of Mr. Peters?
I've always said I'm staying out of this. People have said different things. As it turns out, in the fullness of time, the two accounts are not necessarily entirely inconsistent because the money did not go directly to Mr. Peters or to New Zealand Post.
Yeah, but the one thing where that one has to be lying or one has to be telling the truth is whether Mr. Peters sought the money or not.
That is certainly a contradiction, and as I said last Thursday when I spoke to you all outside a certain Wellington establishment, Mr. Peters and his lawyer adamant that Mr. Henry made that call.
Do you think Mr. Peters can get a fair hearing from this, from either the Religious Committee or the SFO?
I think we have to have confidence in the integrity of the SFO. That's fundamental to the administration of law and order and justice in New Zealand. I am concerned for the Religious Committee because, as I say, for the major party leader to go out and accept the word of one person over another in the middle of the process seems to me to be fairly extraordinary.
Well, I think Mr. Anderton might have done the same thing over the hearings for Alamein Kōpū. I mean, political leaders do make up their minds, don't they? Which is a bit different to the people on the committee.
Well, but no recollection of the Ellen and Copeland issue. I can't even remember that she did get into the property just committee. She was digging deep into ancient history.
What would you say if the property just committee asked you to attend Prime Minister?
I think that's entirely hypothetical at this point. I'll cross that bridge if it comes.
Regarding Mr. Peter's ministerial entitlements, he's been stood down, but is he still receiving those entitlements as minister?
Well, of course. I am acting minister in the portfolios. He hasn't resigned as a minister. He hasn't sacked as a minister. He has been stood aside, as has been my practice on some other occasions.
He had a couple of trips coming up as foreign minister, including one to the UN, I think, and one to Australia. Are you going to be doing those trips with someone else?
I think that's somewhat unlikely, but again, we don't know how long the Serious Fraud Office investigation is going to go for, so again, cross that bridge when it comes.
Prime Minister, isn't it in the Serious Fraud Office's interest to have this go beyond the election, because National doesn't want to do away with it, you do. So if they decide this side of the election, they could find themselves... Turkey's asking for an early Christmas.
Well, I said earlier that we have to have confidence in the integrity of the Serious Fraud Office. I mean, we have to have confidence that it will conduct an investigation in a proper way without regard to such factors.
Mr. Peters said on Friday that all of the money that went from Bob Jones through the Spencer Trust, and indeed all the money that went through the Spencer Trust, made it to New Zealand First. Have you asked him why that wasn't declared, or do you intend to?
I think those matters are best left with the inquiry that's going on at the moment.
But that's not necessarily going to touch on
I'm should not be responsible for New Zealand First, I'm sorry.
Nevertheless, Mr. Peters said he was going to put the evidence in front of you before that meeting on Friday. Did he offer an explanation along those lines?
He's very clear, as is his lawyer, that they can show that money that went to the Spencer Trust went on to New Zealand First.
Did they show that evidence to you?
Well, they had the folder, but there's not much point showing me the separate accounts directly.
So did you say, I don't want to see it?
Well, there's no point. There's no point. I mean, I'm not an accountant, I'm not a forensic accountant. There's no point. That's what they're saying, that's what they're saying to the Serious Fraud Office.
Prime Minister, do you have a view on how this should be, sort of, this whole scenario should be viewed by the public? I mean, it's getting very confusing and complicated. I mean,
well, and that's why probably people turned off the TV.
what impact do you think it might have in the election campaign ahead?
Oh, look, you know, there is a lot of water to go under the bridge, a lot of issues to come to the fore, secret agendas to debate, policies to get out there. I think you'll find that the election is fought on a very wide range of issues.
Has this had any... bearing as to the timing of the election, have you reached?
No, it hasn't.
Have you got a date in your mind?
Of course.
Is it in line with what Jim Anderson signalled on agenda yesterday?
Well, I think Mr. Anderson signalled a date which would have taken you beyond the last possible one.
Urgency tomorrow, I don't know if you're not yet. Are you able to say what bills will be going under urgency tomorrow?
I haven't come down with a list of them, but Dr. Cullen will have that in his motion tomorrow.
Are you aware that John Fees compared himself to Barack Obama?
I have seen that absolutely ludicrous comparison. For Mr. Key, a rather wooden speaker at the best of times, to compare himself with one of the most gifted orators of our time, I think is simply preposterous.
Have you seen National's new billboard in Bell today?
I've seen a Xerox of the graphic. Dr. Cullen, of course, has drawn the conclusion from the press statement that Mr. Key is now resigned from earlier indications of three rounds of tax cuts.
Can you explain at all Mr. Wall's list ranking, the methodology behind it?
Well, I don't intend to go into the reasons why people are ranked where they are. No, that's a matter for 37 members of the moderating committee of the New Zealand Labour Party, which I haven't been on.
Is there a formal quota for the Maori MPs on the list?
Well, if you look at the list, you'll find, as you go through it, probably on average, in every sixth or seventh or eighth place or so, there will be a Maori candidate ranked.
Just on National's billboards, obviously they're rolling them out today. Has Labor rolled out any of its billboards yet?
No, we haven't put our billboards up yet.
But
we're going
when that might happen?
No, I'm not going to indicate it. Because it would be a clue to another piece of information we'd rather keep at hand.
When you're going into urgency, though, this week, do you intend to finish everything next week in terms of the final reading, ETS, valedictories and what have you? Is that the plan?
Not necessarily, no.
Is there a certain period of time after which Parliament rises or is dissolved that you have to have the election? I mean, could you have sort of 6 or 7 or 8 weeks of no parliament?
I think you'll find that when you consult the Electoral Act that there's a very clear timing you can count back from various dates as to when things have to be done. There are RIP days, nomination days, roll closing days, all sorts of things.
But the ETS is one bill you obviously want through, I guess, biofuels. Can you say what other things would be sort of...
I don't intend to go into what's in the urgency motion. Aspirational list of bills, which would be nice to make some progress on.
Just on the ETS, Prime Minister, how much is the electricity compensation package going to be worth?
Well, of course, the electricity sector doesn't actually come into the emissions trading scheme until 2010. So the size of the one-off universal rebate and the targeted rebate is something to be determined, I would say, in the course of the next budget round, but it's not actually specified as an amount in legislation.
So the legislation is passed without any idea really of how much it
will
cost?
Oh, I think you'd find there's probably a reasonable idea of what it would cost, but it's not set out in the legislation.
What should homeowners expect? I
would go down that track. You should go and do a detailed interview with Mr. Parker, someone who specialises in that.
The Green
Party. There's a clear understanding that the parties we've negotiated with as to what the government is on.
But when is that going to be announced?
Well, Mr. Parker.
The Green Party doesn't support going to urgency on the ETS, but does it support moves to go into urgency on those other bills?
There will be a list of bills in the urgency motion, which there is a majority for. That means not only the Greens, but other parties need to be supporting the motion.